Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And the Lord is giving us direction today of what He wants us to spend time in prayer and warfare. And so please pay attention. He's calling on us for help today. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless us with discernment, wisdom, and with a sense of the importance of what you're telling us today. We thank you for doing that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I think we're going to call this, Send the Angels to Drain the Swamp. And on the night of 12/28/18, I was getting revelations on sending the angels to do warfare. In other words, what he wanted us to send them to do warfare in and about. And as I did that, I looked at the clock, and it had just changed when I looked at it from 4:40 to 4:41. In other words, 1:44. And changed at that moment. And in like manner, the Father said to me, send the angels. And I asked, at one time when I received this text, I asked, what should I send them to do, Lord? And I put my finger down by faith at random on the name David in this text. And when I put my finger on David, I just started reading from right there on immediately to the end of the sentence. And it is in 1 Chronicles 17:2. And Nathan said unto David, and I put my finger right there, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. So here I am asking God, what do you want me to send the angels to do? And this is his answer to me. David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. And I, over a little period of time, I got this text twice. And the first time, he spoke to me John 15:7 to help explain it. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. There you go. So if the word abides in a person and they're conscious of what God wants, they're being guided by that word in their heart, you know. They will do what's right. So with that in mind, we just received on today Eve Brass' testimony about the angels and what they're sending us to do. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? And Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So if that word lives in you and you speak it, it doesn't mean quoting it. It means speaking it, commanding it, whatever. They bring it to pass. Okay. So in our morning prayer meeting, we all come with verses that we've asked the Lord to give us by faith, and we at random pick out a verse. And astoundingly, they're very good. They confirm one another quite often. Sometimes all of them are on the same subject. It's amazing. And so we know what the Lord is telling us to pray, what he's telling us to do warfare about, what he's telling us to send the angels about, etc. So Eve said, number one, I was at the morning meeting and I was looking at the drain the swamp sign hanging next to the water purifier. Yep, somebody put that sign up there, and it's pretty neat. But she was looking at it. She said, "My eyes were then opened to see an angel standing next to the sign. He was about as tall as the doorway leading into the washroom. He was thin yet muscular and had blonde curly hair about shoulder length and a simple white woven robe with a baby blue velvet-looking sash around his waist about 3 inches wide. He had a thin matching band tied around his forehead and hair. And I asked the father what his name was, and he said, in the earthly tongue, it's Shemuel or Shemuel. I asked for a confirmation of this, and I got two heads for yes. Shemuel means, or Shemuel means, his name is God, one who listens to God, or God has heard. Okay. Shemuel smiled, and he gestured with his head towards the sign. And with the blue flaming sword in his left hand, he tapped the drain the swamp sign and crossed his right forearm over his left forearm. Well, this is what came to me, that the right will have dominion over the left for this point, for this period of time. Okay. And that we're being instructed by the angels to send them to drain the swamp in the church and in the government. That's where he's had us focusing attention lately. And it's very important because we have to win this battle. And when I say win, I mean including his draining the swamp in the church, which is not going to be, not going to make a lot of people happy. But they don't know the good that God is actually going to do through this. That's the only thing I can say. So Shemuel then pointed to the angel that stands on the balcony outside of Michael's room. So I looked up at the balcony. I asked Father, what's this one's name? And he said, in the earthly tongue, it's Baruch. I cast lots for a confirmation of this and got two heads for yes. Baruch means blessed. Baruch has thick, dark brown hair that goes down to the base of his neck. He's very muscular, with broad shoulders, and has a furrowed brow that makes him look very serious. And it stays that way even when he smiles. He has piercing aqua blue colored eyes that are blue and green. In other times, the angel's eyes are lighted up like flashing diamonds, only brighter. He has a white tunic and a white layered robe over it. And there is a leather satchel that lays across his chest and rests at his right hip. He usually has a spear in his right hand and a blue flaming sword sometimes in his left hand, which seems to disappear when he goes to reach into his satchel. I watched Baruch take three bright orbs or stars out of his leather satchel, and in one smooth motion, he knelt down on his left knee and flung the stars like frisbees at the drain the swamp sign. I believe that this is saying, once again, he's pointing us to do warfare and to send the angels to drain the political and the religious swamp. Amen. Well, we've gotten many revelations about sending the angels and dreams about them being given to us to do this work, to do this warfare. So Eve went on to say, I watched them travel as if there were no ceilings or walls directly into their target. Actually had to go through a ceiling and a couple of walls to hit that target. They all three stuck in the sign perfectly in a stepped formation. I looked back at Shamil, and he was nodding his head slowly with his lips pressed into a tight smile and his eyebrows raised. He seemed to be playful and lighthearted in his demeanor most of the time. Then they all faded out of my sight again. Number two. Another time at the morning meeting, which wasn't very long ago, I looked up at the balcony above David's chair, and I saw Jeruel from my previous vision. This is an angel. His name means fear or vision of God. He is also tall and thin, but he is the tallest of the three. He has hair like spun gold, and it's wavy down to his shoulders. His face is smooth with a kind look, but he too is serious most of the time, but not as intense as Baruch is. His clothing is just like Baruch's, a white tunic and a white layered robe over it. And he has a black velvet looking sash or belt. He was holding his, quote, singing sword, unquote. Yes, that you heard right, singing sword. I call it, she said. It's golden, and it vibrates at high frequency and sings. It appears to have a mouth at the hilt right above his hands. And it sings melodies not in words, but in O sounds, O-H, O sounds. It sings in synchronization with his movements and our praises. He holds the sword with both hands because it's very powerful. And while the other two have shorter swords that they hold with their left hands, well, obviously, what's being shown here is that praise is a very powerful weapon to destroy the enemies. Try it. Give thanks unto God for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially give thanks to God for the things that you've prayed for, because that's how faith works. You believe you have received and you act upon it. So you praise God for the answers to things you don't even see yet, but what you have prayed for. You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So offer up the sacrifice of praise and you will see power. Eve said, as I was looking up at him, he was holding the sword in front of him and looking straight ahead. He realized I saw him and looked down at me, only slightly moving his head, and he smiled at me. Then he did a kind of sword show for me and ended up down on his left knee, holding the sword straight out in front of him. Then he faded out of sight. Number three, the most recent vision I had was on 12/29/18 in the morning meeting. It was a closed vision, and I saw all three angels that I've been allowed to see so far standing next to the upstairs bathroom on the middle of the balcony. They were engrossed in conversation and were gesturing with their arms and hands. Then the surroundings disappeared, and I saw the heavens open behind them and many angels talking in different groups and many others going around as if they were getting ready for something. I discerned that all the buzz was concerning this new phase in Father's plan that is fixing to unfold and this new time that we, His people, are entering into. Well, I just think it's the draining of the swamp, the conquering of the northern army, as Joel chapter 2, and the revival to follow. That's what I think. The angels seemed excited and energized about what's about to unfold. They know the good that is going to come from all of this. It's going to look terrible, in some cases feel terrible, but the good that's going to come from all this is wonderful. Then the vision ended. So I asked Father for a word concerning what the angels were all abuzz about. And my finger was on in that day. In Isaiah 19:19. And in context, 19 through 25. And my thought about this text is that it is saying that a great revival will come from chastening, and the church, one-third, will be increased by two-thirds people coming in out of the world. And I put a question mark behind it because that's just what my thinking was. I'm certain that it is talking about a great revival, and that people are going to be coming into the church from the world. The world is seen in a couple of different ways here, Egypt and Assyria. Egypt, a lot of people recognize as a symbol of the world, which God's people had to come out of to go to their promised land, right? And Assyria, you know, which also conquered God's people, but were not able to conquer the bride. So let me share the text with you. Isaiah 19:19 through 25. In that day, which is where she put her finger, shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar on the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a Defender, and he will deliver them. You know what? When people in the world cry out to God, he hears. Yeah. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. Yea, they shall worship with sacrifice and oblation, and shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and shall perform it. And the Lord will smite Egypt, smiting and healing, and they shall return unto the Lord. And he noticed the chastening there and the healing. He's proving himself to be one who blesses when people repent, right? And he will be entreated of them and will heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt and the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptians shall worship with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria. Blessing in the midst of the earth. A blessing in the midst of the earth. Amen. for that the Lord of hosts has blessed them, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. Now we know Israel in the Old Testament is also a parable of the church, right? So at any rate, whether you accept my thoughts on this or not, it will be a great revival coming from chastenings that are approaching, right? Now, I want to speak about something that is, again, what we're sending the angels to do, to take care of, to defend, whatever, you know. And this is about the deep state destroying the leadership of apostate Jerusalem. Jerusalem, of course, represents the bride, or in the apostate state, it is the backslidden or false bride. As you know, there's two different things in the Bible about Jerusalem. One, it's totally defended against the enemy. And in another case, when it is in apostasy, it's being conquered by the beast. Very large parables going all the way through the Bible. So, with that in mind, let me say that Satan's plan through the beast is to destroy Christianity in America. He's premature in his timing. He will succeed to a great extent in destroying apostate leadership in the church and the faction in church and government. And this is all in preparation for the man-child reformers to come and bring revival. Also, we don't choose the topics for prayer and warfare for our morning meetings. The Lord does. And he is saying that this subject is important. He wants to impress us what he wants us to do warfare about. So please pay attention. Brandy Arney got this text by faith at random for our morning prayer meeting on December 25th, a few days ago. And afterwards, Pam showed me a word that she got to pay attention to these verses. And she put her finger down on 225, which the text is all about. It's 2 Kings 25, 2 Kings 25, 225. And we consider this text to represent the deep state attack on the apostate church. And so 2 Kings 25, 9 through 12. And he burnt the house of the Lord, burnt the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. This is Jerusalem, of course, is the leadership of the rest of the body, you see. There are representatives there from all the tribes. They are there to govern. So, he, that's the king of Babylon, burnt the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Even every great house burnt he with fire. I don't think that the beast has enough sense to really know who the leadership of Christianity is. They go with the world, who the world thinks is great. And that's not a bad thing, because the people who the world think is great are not. Who the worldly church thinks are great are not. Okay, God's people are quite often wrong throughout history, actually. So they're destroying those that are great, quote unquote, in Christianity. They want to bring down Christianity. Folks, if they bring down these people who are great to the world, this can do nothing but a favor to Christianity. Verse 10, and all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. There was no defense for the apostate people that led God's people. They brought down the walls. Verse 11, and the residue of the people that were left in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon. Notice they fell away to the king of Babylon. What is this? What does this mean, you know, on the ground, right? Well, you know how that deep state Babylon has controlled people and imparted demons to people through the mainstream media, through slander and lies. And you may have watched on the internet. Some of you may be on TV. I don't have a TV, so I don't watch that part. But, and it's a sad thing if you get your news from the TV, I got to tell you. But anyway, they've watched how these people have gone totally nuts, making no sense whatsoever, with all kinds of tics and all kinds of things that, you know, twitches and can't think right and brain freezes and all this other stuff that you get when you get mixed up with a bunch of Satanists sacrificing babies. So the people that fell away to the king of Babylon are people who are deceived by these spirits, that when you give in to these spirits and you listen to slander, they enter into you, because it's forbidden. Okay? It's forbidden. You're going to continue to listen to slander, you're going to get taken over. Okay? I want to say it doesn't matter whether it's the slander that comes from the faction in the church or the faction in the government, you'll get taken over. Have you noticed that the leaders of nations have been taken over by the spirits of Islam? Why? We know why. Because even before all this started in the governments, we were having our own situation, and we saw that people got taken over by faction and witchcraft spirits when they pitied or had mercy upon people that were in gross rebellion against God. When they did that, the demons jumped on them. Now, the governments out there, for political reasons, wanted these people in their countries because they knew who they'd vote for. They are a kindred spirit. Matter of fact, they are the same spirit that these people have. It's Satan. Satan in his body. And many demons enforcing. Okay? It's the same in the faction in the church. It's the same spirits. Faction, witchcraft, slander, so on. Okay? So, you know, this is being imparted to the world through the mainstream media out there. Wonder how in the world we could ever get to the place in the tribulation where you're hated of all nations for my name's sake, Jesus said. Well, this is it. It's happening in front of our noses. All nations are coming to be the enemies of Christianity. It's happening. We're just going to give them a little bit of a setback here, although they are going to look like they're giving the church a setback by taking out these famous people and their mega churches and their properties and maybe their 17 airplanes. Who knows? I don't know. But you know, they're going to do God a favor, I believe. We'll wait and see. And the residue of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away captive. But the captain of the guard left of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. Okay. While I was thinking on this text, which we received on December the 25th, and I was thinking on it, and on how the Spirit has shown us that the deep state will bring fire to destroy the apostate church leadership in America. Is it only physical fire, or is it only spiritual fire? It may be both. I don't know. But I do know that it's going to eventually burn up the bonds of the people that go through it who desire the Lord, you know, like the three Hebrews anyway. But God said he would use it to deliver God's people from the wicked ruling over the church, so the people would be free to follow the man-child into the wilderness. Pretty smart. I knew something had to happen, and I'm realizing that God is bringing total disrespect to these people so that they'll look elsewhere for leadership. And, of course, if their churches or even just a few churches are burned up with DEW weapons. By the way, that thing that happened down there in Kenner, Louisiana, I watched the film, and there's beams coming out of the sky, passing through Kenner, Louisiana, just burning everything. Not just electrical stuff. It was not a solar storm. It wasn't just electrical stuff being overloaded and blowing up. It was knocking up down buildings and taking off roofs and everything else, and it went across the city and just blew pop, 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 right on down through there. It was directed enemy energy weapons. Can they use them on churches? You betcha they can. So anyway, so when I was thinking on this, you know, how that the deep state is going to be used to do something, which is going to cost them dearly, because then there's going to be a backlash, etc. I looked at the clock, and it was 5:11. And I got from that immediately that the meaning of the hour of grace, 5, rules over the minutes of the deep state attack, 11. You know, 9-11, the deep state false flag attack. Well, they did this thing down in Kenner, and probably the one up in New York too, but they did this thing down in Kenner during a solar storm to make people think it was a solar storm, but it was not a solar storm. Oh, I mean, if you watch the film and you got just a little bit of sense, it's kind of like watching paradise getting blown up with the beams coming out of the sky, taking the whole area down. So let's don't say it can't happen. It is happening. Okay. I felt we were to send the angels to protect the righteous and chasten the wicked. In this next 9-1-1. You remember how that we had dreams that paralleled the Trump presidency and the David body presidency, who were given a company of angels to send forth to fight the enemy. And so once again, we can see what is needed here, okay? So if you will just, you know, do some spiritual warfare, spend some time. I mean, this is really what we call seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, is to spend time doing things that aren't just pleasing to the flesh, but things that serve the Father and serve the kingdom and serve his people, right? Spend some time, please. And what you command. When you command the mountain to be plucked up and cast into the sea, guess what? The angels do that. They are mighty in strength to fulfill his will. And when you speak the word of God, they move. That's what they're called to do. That's their ministry, as we saw. So here, anyway, here's some more verses that we've received in recent times about Babylon burning the apostate leadership of the church, burning their church buildings, and et cetera, et cetera. 2 Chronicles 36:19-20. And they burnt the house of God. Well, okay, most people consider the house of God that building. We know it's not, right? But they consider it that building that they meet in. And they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof. We've called them palaces too, because they are pretty nice palaces, a lot of them. Even some of the preacher's homes are pretty nice palaces too. But, the last text I shared with you, they were burning them too. And destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword. So guess what? Like it was in paradise, there may be some people in those buildings when they direct their energy weapons to take them down. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. Of course, they will put you in the tent cities or whatever they got, the FEMA camps or whatever they've got, And they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. Now we know that the king of Persia has been fighting his battle. Trump has been fighting his battle. And he's been winning, not as fast as we'd like, obviously, but he has been winning by the grace of God. He's nothing without God. God's propped him up there, and that's good. We thank God for everything he's doing through him. He makes mistakes, too, that are not necessarily pleasing to God, but that's okay. It'll all get done. But this is still happening. It's still ongoing. So the complete reign of the kingdom of Persia hadn't happened yet. But we know that speaking about that reign, God pointed to the Red Sea. That's the ultimate end of the deep state's warfare against Trump and against the people of God. So we've been watching some of them being taken out, but there is an ultimate end to this, I believe. And I believe it's like the Northern Army in Joel chapter 2, which God, when the people of God cried out to him, in that case it was the bride, actually, the righteous city of Jerusalem that he was thinking also to take down, like he'd already taken down the northern 10 tribes and their golden calves. But it was a different situation there. They cried out to God. God heard and he took them down. So what they planned to do to God's holy people happened to them. Has this ever happened before? Yes, the Red Sea is exactly that. They went out to kill God's people and they were taken down instead. And in Jehoshaphat's situation, same thing. They came with three armies to take down God's holy people in Jerusalem, and instead they took each other down. So God does this. This is one of the ways he goes and fights against his enemies, right? Especially when you consider that the enemy is outnumbering the people of God by quite a bit. If you did any kind of physical warfare against them, you would lose. He that takes the sword will die by the sword. Okay? So the best thing that God does is he turns them against one another. What did he tell Jehoshaphat and his people? You won't need to fight in this battle. Okay? And of course it says, until the reign of the king of Persia. Until the reign. In other words, until he is ruling. So we're coming to that. He hasn't quite come to that complete position yet, but we're coming to that. And of course, this means until Cyrus/Trump comes to power. And Psalm 74, 3-8. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual ruins, all the evil that the enemy hath done in the sanctuary. They call a church a sanctuary. In some cases it is, in some cases it isn't. Thine adversaries have roared in the midst of thine assembly. I would say the assemblies are the churches. That's the type and the shadow we're looking at. They have set up their ensigns for signs. They seemed as men that lifted up axes upon a thicket of trees. And now all the carved work thereof they break down with hatchet and hammers. They have set thy sanctuary, the churches, on fire. They have profaned the dwelling place of thy name by casting it to the ground. They said in their heart, let us make havoc of them altogether. They have burned up all the synagogues, which is the Jews' churches, right? Representing the New Testament Jews' churches, right? Of God in the land. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. You remember a few years ago? Well, I guess it's been more like more than a few years ago, but how churches were being burned down across the land. These were being done by hand, it seemed. I can't guarantee that. They could have just blamed some poor yokel out there and put it on him, and it actually was them. But anyway, that's what they do. You know, they always try to pin it on somebody, right? So, but anyway, is it going to happen again? I'm pretty sure it's going to happen again in a literal way and a spiritual way too. If I'm wrong about the literal way, I'm guaranteeing you the spiritual way is true. They are going to bring fire to the churches. But I think it's going to be physical too. Anyway, Amos 2 and 5 says, but I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. And of course, always this is because they're in apostasy. Apostasy means a falling away. They're in a falling away. How does God arrest a falling away? He sends chastening. And if you got sense, you make adjustments. If you don't, you just get destroyed, you know. So, Isaiah 64:11. Our holy and beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee. Yeah. Well, it used to be holy, maybe, possibly, in some cases. Is burned with fire. And all our pleasant places are laid waste. It's burned with fire. Well, God didn't think it was holy. God didn't even think it was beautiful at that particular moment. Because a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. I know people get mad at the deep state. They get too mixed up in the warfare in the media. Because, you see, God's doing it all. He directs the path of the wicked in what they do, and he, of course, directs the path of the righteous. It's not a competition. It's a matter of, it's between us and God. The deep state is not the problem. So, they really aren't. They're just vessels who are being used by demon spirits, who, as you know, when you read Job, are under the control of God himself. He permits and he forbids. He gives us authority to do the same thing if we will pay attention. And Jeremiah 19 and 13, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah, which are defiled, shall be as the place of Topheth. Topheth is the place outside the city where they burned trash. They shall be as the place of Topheth, a bunch of burning trash. Oh my. Even all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense, a symbol of prayer, unto all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Other Elohim. Elohim is the plural for our God, too, is used of our God. But other gods here, other Elohim, false Jesuses, in other words. And many have false Jesuses, And that's because they don't read their Bible. They don't get familiar with the one that wrote the Bible. And if the preacher tells them something contrary to the word, they pay attention to him rather than the Bible. That proves an idol, you see. That's the golden calf. So Jeremiah 38 and 17 says, "And then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, a famous apostate leader, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live." And he made a big mistake there, because he wasn't living holy and God wasn't going to defend him. And if you think God's going to defend you when you're not obeying his word, you're wrong. "Then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire. And thou shalt live, and thy house." Now, what do you see there? Here's what I see there. Give yourself up. Take up your cross to save the city. But they won't do it, just as Zedekiah didn't do it. It's what he's saying. Save yourself. Save the city. Give yourself up. Take up your cross. Who puts you on the cross? Well, the beast, and this is the beast. He's there, right? But no, they figured they'd fight their way through it, but they weren't holy and they had no defense because God wasn't there. They didn't have a Psalm 91 where the angels defended them. They didn't have that. Neither does anybody else who goes their own way, makes up their own religion, and calls it Christianity. And God has to do something about it. He's been very, very patient. And Jeremiah 39 and 8, "And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem." Jeremiah 52 and 13, "And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, even every great house burned he with fire." Well, the greater the house, the greater possibility you have of an apostate living in it. Let me tell you, because those people who build them million-dollar houses and stuff like that and claim to be Christians leading God's people, that's just totally ridiculous. This is an apostate right there. He don't have any consideration for the people in need. All they think about is greed. God's not going to put up with it. So Judy Farno got this text on the 28th. And with her finger on 14. And the word Jehovah, or the Lord. Jeremiah 49, 12 through 16, to get the context. "For thus saith the Lord, Behold, they to whom it pertaineth not to drink of the cup." They surely don't drink of the cup, the prosperity preachers and their prosperity churches and their temples and so on and so forth. They don't drink of the cup. They don't drink of the cup of suffering that the Lord passed to his disciples. They don't drink the cup of the cross, right? And it says, "They to whom it pertaineth not to drink of the cup shall assuredly drink." God saying, okay, your time has come. You've done enough. It's over. The party's over. "And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished. Thou shalt surely drink. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah," well, that's a good meaning there. Meaning is sheepfold, but is the sheepfold of the Edomite kingdom. That's Esau's people who persecuted and hated and railed and slandered their brother, who is the chosen Jacob or Israel. And, of course, we have the Edomites today. They're making war against Jacob or Israel representing the church. They're doing it today. We have our own Ishmaelites and our own Edomites, and they're doing the same things as the ones in the world that are doing against natural Israel. The parable is still going on. It's a parable over there, but it points to the church, doesn't it? The Lord said, I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah, and I think we need to send forth the angels against the Edomite sheepfold. That's Esau's seed, the faction in government and in the church, who sold their birthright, as Hebrews says, through a root of bitterness against their chosen brother. Amen. That Bozrah shall become an astonishment, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, just like they attempted to do to their brother, Israel, the church. And all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. I have heard tidings from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the nations, saying, gather yourselves together and come against her. Gather yourselves together and come against her. That's factious Edom. And rise up to the battle. And I would say God is telling us to do this now ourselves. Come against this wicked attack against God's people. The time has come. For behold, I have made thee small among the nations, that is, the Edomite kingdom, and despised among men. And as for thy terribleness, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. Who's he talking about? That's Edom's city called Petra. They thought they really had something there. They had a cleft in the rock surroundings there, and they built cities, they built houses and places of worship and all that stuff into the rock. They dug it out of the rock. Now, if you've ever seen it, you can look online and see it. And so they were proud that they had a defensible fortress there. But there's nothing that can defend you against the Lord. I mean, Edom or Esau had a birthright. He was the firstborn. He had a birthright. But he sold it. Just like all of the faction do that fight against their brother Jacob or the church. He sold it because of his anger. O thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Now we've got an eagle here that is fighting against their own brethren in the United States. These are people who are supposedly working for the United States, but they're not. They're working for themselves. And they're killing people in the United States. They are traitors to the max. Traitors. This eagle is a traitor. Babylon is a traitor. Their symbol was what? The eagle. And I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. God is going to bring down Babylon and what it represents. He's going to bring it down. So what do we say? Well, I would say, cry out to God for America, brethren. Since God is giving us this charge, he doesn't always do that. He sometimes uses the beast kingdoms, and let me tell you, America is just the head of the beast. That's all it is. Sometimes uses the beast kingdom upon his people, and sometimes when he gets through using them upon his people, he brings them down. In this case, they have done a job upon the righteous, And they are a part of the wicked, let me say, the dragon is Satan in a body of people on this earth that have all seven heads, all seven world ruling empires in one body. And guess who's a part of that head? The Edomites, the Ishmaels, spiritually speaking. They are a part of that dragon. They tried to devour the man-child. They tried to take the woman and failed. So now they're going after the remnant of her seed, as Revelation 12 says. You see, they failed to do one thing, but now they're going to turn to do another crucifixion here on the church. They've already done a crucifixion on the man-child and the bride and the woman as she's leaving Egypt, so to speak, you know. So cry out to God for America, brethren. Exercise your authority over evil. Send the angels against the factions in government and in the church. Luke 10 and 19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." This is organizations of demons. "And over all the power of the enemy." This is what we fight with. We don't wrestle with the flesh and the blood, but the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. "And nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Matthew 18 and 18, "Verily I say unto you that what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." We have authority. The angels submit to that authority. It's not an authority to do your own will. It's an authority to do God's will. That's why we ask God to show us His will before we do our praying in our morning prayer meetings. And it's a very important thing. Very, very important. The people that are doing this are getting blessed for this service to God and His people. It's a good thing. Psalm 149 and 6 through 9, it says, "So let the high praises of God be in their mouth." Here we go again. Here's these high praises and what power they have. "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." Now, he had a singing sword. The angel had a singing sword. A praising sword, right? "And a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples." So he was giving a sword show and showing how good he is with that sword. He was swinging it all this way and that way and every which way, you know? Yeah. "To bind their kings with chains." Now, that's definitely what we need, right? Praising God and giving thanks to God. "Send forth the angels," right? "And their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written." Now, we see what the judgment is written. Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side or are you on the church's side? Well, it depends on what church we're talking about, right? There is an apostate church who is anti-God and anti-Christ. And they deserve nothing and they need nothing more than a chastening. So, well, we have to be on God's side. And don't forget to pray for them, because chastening is meant to bring people to repentance. So pray for them too. "To execute upon them the judgment written. Dishonor have all his saints." All his saints. "Praise ye the Lord." So, what do we say? I would say, pray and cast down the power of the Satanists and their faction, witchcraft, murder, assassination, hatred, wrath, anarchy, lying, slandering demons. And cast down plots and schemes of Satan and his helpers. we know that they're going to go until they bring chastening and repentance to God's people. But our words are still going out there, and the angels have heard our words. We don't dwell in time. They don't dwell in time. It will come to pass when it's supposed to. You know, Obama, Soros, the organized crime families, their war is against America and Christianity. And it's not over. Pray for the fear of God on the wicked. Pray for protection and wisdom for Trump and his cabinet, his advisors and helpers, the police, Secret Service, etc. And God will be with you as you do his work, his will. Okay? Send the angels to enforce our laws. We wonder, why isn't the government enforcing the laws? Well, whether they can do it or not, we can do it. The angels have much more access to ways to enforce laws than the government does, than men do, right? So send the angels to enforce our laws, to quell the faction and their demons who never obey God's laws or men's laws. They never do. It is against the law to advocate, to speak, to plan, or to pay other anarchists to advocate overthrowing the government or the president. It's against the law. You say, well, it's been going on a while now and doesn't seem like they can do anything against it. Well, God can. I mean, we can't put our trust in men or in government, but we can put our trust in God, right? He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. So therefore, there's nothing hindering him. There may be something hindering our government, even our Trump government, from bringing these people down, but there's nothing hindering God from doing it. And we request for the laws to be enforced against communists, anarchists, and their supporters. All of these are the beast from the pit. These people do not believe in democracy, and they're trying to impose their will on the majority who have already voted their will, right? They don't care. Why are they railing out there? Because they don't believe in the will of the people. They only have their self-will. There is nothing more self-willed than an Edomite or an Ishmaelite. There's nothing more self-will than the Muslims who are out there raping and doing all the things that they love to do. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that the wives of the Muslim men have spoken up and said, take these guys back home. Send them back home. We'll stay here. You know what? These wives know they don't have any love from these men. There's certainly not any faithfulness in these men that go out there and rape as many people as they can. The wives know that. They know there's no love there. These people have never known love. They can make great Christians because of that. They've never known any love. They've had angry and rebellion and unforgiveness and bitterness, totally anti-Christ spirits. The treason and rebellion, they've known it. Would you be surprised if some of their wives would say, wish I had a Western husband? You know what? The West, as bad as it is, it's had the influence of Christianity. There's been no influence of Christianity in these Eastern Muslims. And the people that are deceived in the government say, oh, it's just... It's their culture, you know. We have to respect their culture. No, we have to respect our laws and the laws of righteousness, and that's what we have to do. So they can't enforce them without us enforcing them. We need to do it. Treason, rebellion, insurrection, and sedition are against the law. What are these people doing over here? They're disobeying the Constitution. What are the judges doing that respect them? They're disobeying the Constitution. They should be kicked out of office. Pray for that. Send the angels to bring it to pass. Even if men can't do it, they can. They're mighty in strength to fulfill God's will. Recruiting or enlisting others to serve against the United States is against the law. The Satanist left-wing communists are a beast from the pit, working to exalt Satan's throne above the stars of heaven. Just as Satan bragged, that's what his plan was. He wants to rule over the people of God. The nature of this beast is lawlessness. They're stabbing. And no, look. He that returns evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house, the Lord says. What do they do? These people invite them into their country foolishly to take care of them, and they stab the people. They rape the women. They burn the buildings. They throw acid upon them. These are the basest of men. And the demons they have are wicked and want to overthrow the West and especially Christianity. The nature of this beast is lawlessness. If you take a look at those maps that show where this beast is claiming a body, you can see that 2% of the United States counties have 51% of the U.S. murders and have voted in lawless liberal Democrat governments. They are the highest crime cities in America. It tells the story. They're in a minority, but they scream a lot louder. Look at the red and the blue. The maps of the voting, the red and the blue, look at them. Then superimpose that on the top of the crime map. It's the same. The blue is where the crime is. Most of the crime is the blue. It's the democratically controlled areas. What can we learn from all of this? You know, who are we supposed to be praying against? What right does a party have, a party in the United States government, to do what they do? They're criminals. Their organization needs to be dissolved and outlawed. I'm not a political person, but this is making sense. We know where the devil is. It doesn't matter which party he's in to me, whether he's in a Republican or Democrat. It just happens to be overwhelmingly in Democratic Party. This is a leaven that's leavening the whole lump. The Democrats run the highest crime cities in America. And that's the reason they're the highest crime. Because they too are criminals. You know, on 1228, when I began to think on all this, we also received a bunch of texts by faith at random. Deborah Horton got Isaiah 33:11. And it says, you shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. There's no fruit there, right? Your breath is a fire that shall devour you. Notice, they're breathing out fire on their enemies, who are basically us, or right-wing Christianity, you know. Your breath is a fire that shall devour you. So they burned paradise, which was, I think, a symbol both to them and to the deep state and to Christians. They burned paradise and more. But according to this text, it's going to come around to them. And this is Deb said, this is the famous chapter that begins with Isaiah 33:1. Woe to thee that destroyest, and thou wast not destroyed. You hear that? God is sending a warning. Woe to thee that destroyest, and thou wast not destroyed, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. Did paradise do any damage to the left wing, blue area over there west of them? They didn't do anything. They tried to do what was right. They were conservative thinkers and so on, and other areas there. They decided to take them out for their own greedy purposes. They wanted their land. I don't have time to go into that, but they dealt treacherously with them. And when thou hast ceased to destroy, thou shalt be destroyed. So God has a purpose in their destruction, and when they're through doing what needs to be done, they are going to be destroyed. It's always that way. These beast kingdoms are always the same. They bring God's people to their knees, and when they get through doing that, which is good, when they get their knees, then they know what to do. They pray. And then the enemy is destroyed. Thou shalt be destroyed. And when thou hast made an end of dealing treacherously, kind of like Judas, bringing Jesus to the cross, and like all these Edomites, bringing God's people to their cross. When thou hast made an end of dealing treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. You remember Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem were attacked by three armies, which killed each other off. Matthew Stewart, a while back, had a false flag dream about what looked like, to us, the deep state secretly bombing Russia so that they would attack America to start a world war. Uh-huh. And it just so happens Putin was smarter than they were. He knows exactly what they're doing. You know, these people get stupid. We call them the stupid demons. Because notice, Trump's outsmarting them every way they turn. They just don't understand it. They think they're hearing from God, their God, Satan. And he's always given them help before. What's happening? See, they're coming to the end of their time of dealing treacherously. Now, they're going to get the treachery. See, they wanted to start a world war. They don't care how many of us they kill. There's no conscience there. I've told you this before. Maybe you haven't really understood it to the extent that I understand it, but I've told you this before. The faction have no conscience. No conscience. They have slaughtered, dismembered many people from the body of Christ. They are totally antichrist. They have no conscience. Their only hope is that God grant those among them who were deceived repentance, and their eyes are open to see what they've done, and they turn to God. It's not going to be a salvation from within. It's going to be a salvation from without. And if you want to be a part of that, you'll have to do some warfare for them. So, also on that day, Brandy Arney got 2 Chronicles 33:7-13. And he set the graven image of the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. So now they're putting their idols in the house of God and in Jerusalem. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from off the land which I have appointed for your fathers, if only they will observe to do all that I have commanded them. They don't think they have to do that. They've got a religious spirit ruling over them, and they have no conscience not to obey their preachers. and obey the rules and regulations of their dead religion. And so they're not obeying God's commandment. So he doesn't have to keep his part of the bargain and keep them from going into captivity. And they will go into captivity. Even all the law and the statutes and the ordinances given by Moses. Well, to us, it's all the New Testament, too. Same thing, the Word of God, right? If they're not going to obey their covenant, then God doesn't have to keep his part. And Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He was a leader of apostate leadership of God's people, right? So that they did more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed from before the children of Israel. Yeah, he was a great idolater. You see all these preachers caught up in idolatry with the things that they can plunder God's people and just have all these wonderful things that they have that the crucified life doesn't enter into their mind. Sacrificing for other people doesn't enter into their mind. They're taken over by their own delusions. Apostate leaderships have led God's people into idolatry, gross error, and captivity. It's happened. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they gave no heed. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh in chains, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. That was very just. Very just. He didn't really receive the justice for what he had done in destroying God's people. But it was very just what happened anyway. They carried him into captivity. He brought the people of God into captivity, and now Babylon brought him into captivity. And when he was in distress, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Notice, it doesn't matter how big a sinner you are. If you humble yourself and turn to God, he can change things. And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again unto Jerusalem into his kingdom. Well, how awesome. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Yeah, he was worshiping all the hosts of heaven. All those that God displaced before Israel, which God pointed out to him. How stupid you are. I gave you these people's land because they were worshiping idols, and now you choose these idols that couldn't defend their people against Jehovah God? Doesn't make sense, right? But notice, a remnant of leadership who sinned went into captivity, and like Manasseh, they repent and return. That's the prophecy in this text. A remnant will return. Many will not, but a remnant will return. And Matthew Stewart got Romans 11, 1 through 6. I say then, did God cast off his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God did not cast off his people which he foreknew. Those whom he foreknew, he foreordained or predestined, right? So he didn't cast off his people which he foreknew. Or know you not what the scripture saith to Elijah? How he pleadeth with God against Israel. Lord, they have killed thy prophets. They have digged down thine altars. And I am left alone, and they seek my life. Well, that's the faction right there. But the faction has fought against all of the prophets, against Jesus, against his apostles, all the way down to this day. And people who listen to slander and lies and don't obey the rules, we'll get captured and taken into captivity. Some of them will never return. Some of them die in captivity. Others will repent and return. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There's that Baal again. He's the false son of God. He's the false Jesus. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. 7,000 represent a remnant according to the election of grace. 7,000 of the many who did not bow the knee to their own personal Jesus who smiles on their sin. Right. But if it is by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. What do any of us have to be proud of? If we got grace, we didn't deserve it. It wasn't earned. That's the nature of grace. And those that didn't get grace, what have we got to gloat over them for? They didn't get grace. So, Amber Bristol got 1 Samuel 28, 5 through 8. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. Here is an apostate leader who was about to be conquered by the people of the land, the old man. In other words, Saul was going to be conquered by his own flesh. The old man of the land was conquered by the spiritual man who took control over the house and raised his own crops. And that's the spiritual man ruling over the carnal man. Well, Saul walked in witchcraft. He walked in faction against David and witchcraft against David. And he was killed by the old man of the land. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, either by dreams nor by Urim or by prophets. He answered him not. So the faction no longer hear from God by dream, by vision, by word. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Yes, they love witchcraft. They love consulting witchcraft and witchcraft people. And his servants said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself. Kind of like Ahab did. Yeah, you think God don't see through that? He disguised himself and he put on other raiment. And went he and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, divine unto me, I pray thee, by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whosoever I shall name unto thee. Okay. So he turned to witchcraft, which all of the faction do in the government and in the church. That's one of the main spirits there. And Sue Gilbert got Amos 9, 11 through 15. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins. The tabernacle of David, that's kind of like a portable David, right? A portable David in whom the Lord lives, right? Well, there's a bunch of them God's raising up, okay? And I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Esau. Possess Edom, the remnant of Edom. Possess. David did possess them. He put garrisons, he conquered them, put garrisons in their cities. And it's going to happen again. And all the nations that are called by my name, says the Lord, that doeth this. Wait a minute. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the nations that are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Yeah. The Davids will once again take down the Edom, the Esau's factious seed, right? Notice that the seed, I mean, it was just one man. But as time went by, there was a geometric progression. Now his whole seed is infecting the world. Oh, any of them, just like any of us, can turn to Christianity and have a total deliverance. And I know some of them, so this is a good thing. But what you have there in the old man is a curse, a major, major curse. And, you know, whatever you do and whatever you say also makes a geometric progression. You can destroy all of your seed, too, by the things you say and do. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Boy, that's real prosperity in gardening, right? And the treader of grapes, him that soweth the seed. Wow. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel. And from what? From demon spirits of Babylonish captivity, right? And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. Wouldn't you be so grateful to God if you were proud and arrogant and walked in sin and didn't care what people, what God saw you do or whatever? You know, wouldn't, if you were brought into this kind of a chastening, be so happy if God accepted your cry of repentance and brought you back? You'd be so grateful. Right? They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land. Well, that just lets you know this is an end time revelation here. No more be plucked up. How many times were they plucked up out of their land? Well, this time, they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord thy God. It has to be on this end of the spectrum, doesn't it? Yeah. Just a note here. This victory will greatly anger the enemy, who will return to power because they have someone that needs persecuting, and that is the church during the tribulation period. They tried it on the man-child. They brought a crucifixion there. They tried it on the woman. They brought a crucifixion there to some extent. But now the church who is in the tribulation period also needs to be perfected. They also need to go to their cross. And it's always the beast that brings them to their cross, right? So they are going to return because the church needs to repent and go to their cross during the tribulation period. Shalonda Kelton said this morning at the prayer meeting, that's 12:30, I had an open vision of Jesus poking the fire in the wood stove with the poker that Michael uses. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what you doing? And Jesus said, making it seven times hotter. It made me think of the seven-year tribulation, which fire only burns off the bonds holding them in captivity, right? Tribulation is not a thing to be feared. It's a crucifixion time. It's a time to go to the cross. It's a time for the old man to die. He's the one that holds you in bondage. Remember the three that went into the fire, heated seven times hotter, and they only lost their bonds. Isn't that neat? Not a thing to be feared. It's a thing that's necessary, though. However, people will make up doctrines so they can fly away as dirty as they are, and they don't have to go. Well, you can't go to heaven without fruit. So sorry. You've been lied to. And the Sufera got Acts 27, 21 through 22. And when they had been long without food, then Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have set sail from Crete and have gotten this injury and loss." I guess we need to listen to Paul, right? The great apostle Paul, who taught so much and so good, right, of the Holy Spirit. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." And of course, we were believing that the Lord was talking about us, that there won't be any life lost among us. They reached their destination, of course, the land, but ultimately the ship was no longer needed, right? It's fulfilled its purpose. You know, when all have reached their destination, there's no need for the ship anymore. And we have a ship. The Lord has shown it to us, before we even got here. We didn't know, "What? What you talking about, Lord?" He showed us. So, yeah, there's an ark. Yeah. I also saw the words of David, you know, when I was coming to the end of this list of verses and stuff, how that God prophesied to him and his brethren victory over the enemies. Psalm 18, 34 through 50. "He teacheth my hands to war, so that my arms do bend a bow of brass. Lord, teach us to fight this warfare. Teach us not to just be caught up in the things of the world, but to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness. We have a battle to win. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation." The shield of thy salvation. "And thy right hand hath holden me up. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I will pursue mine enemies and overtake them. Neither will I turn again until they are consumed. I will smite them through, so that they shall not be able to rise." Remember who our warfare is against, the principalities and powers that use men, right? "They shall fall under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." Amen. There is a faction rising up against the man-child everywhere, like the faction of Judas that rose up among the disciples, and the faction of the Pharisees and Sadducees who rose up against their chosen brother, Jesus. So the whole bunch of faction there was to crucify the Son of God. "Thou hast also made mine enemies turn their backs unto me." Oh yes, he will do that. "That I might cut off them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the mire of the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the nations. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The foreigners shall submit themselves unto me. The foreigners shall fade away and shall come trembling out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, even the God that executeth vengeance for me, and subdueth peoples under me. He rescueth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above them that rise up against me. Thou deliverest me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises unto thy name. And listen to this one. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth forth loving kindness to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Father. So let us call upon the Lord and send the angels. Amen. We received on the 30th, which is today, several texts, just a few I will share with you. We had many more, but I'll just share a few of them that are really tremendous. Debbie Finsky got this text, Psalm 21, 1 through 13. And it's a Psalm of David. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. Thou hast not withholden the request of his lips. Oh, the prayer of the Davids is going to be answered. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is going to bless them. Even though they've gone through much sufferings at the hands of the wicked, they've gone through crucifixion at the hands of the wicked, God is going to answer. For thou meetest him with the blessings of goodness, and thou settest a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty dost thou lay upon him, for thou makest him most blessed forever. Thou makest him glad with joy in thy presence. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thy hand will find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand will find out those that hate thee. Thou wilt make them as a fiery furnace in the time of thine anger. Notice, he will make them as a fiery furnace in the time of thine anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit wilt thou destroy from the earth. Amen. Their fruit wilt thou destroy from the earth. Their seed from among the children of men, for they intended evil against thee. They conceived a device which they are not able to perform. For thou wilt make them turn their back. Thou wilt make ready with thy bowstrings against their face. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thy strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Well, amen. God is an awesome God. And Leon got Psalm 2, 1 through 12. Why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate a vain thing? You may not have applied this text to what we're talking about, but it sure fits pretty good. The kings of the earth do set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Well, it seems like the anointed are quite outnumbered here. But it doesn't make any difference. As I've always said, you and the Lord are a majority every time, you know. And the multitudes, of course, will be against the Lord and against his anointed. And they are this time, too. The beast kingdom is everywhere. The deep state is the head of the beast kingdom. But for a short time, God's going to extend the timing for God's people's sake, that we can get things together by the grace of God, for by his power, for that first 3.5 years. Let us break their bonds asunder. That's what they want to do. We want to break the power of any kind of true Christianity. And cast away their cords from us. They don't like the conviction. Their demons have a great hatred for Christians. They want them destroyed. They thought they could do it under Obama's regime, but the Lord said different. God's people cried out. They had many people they were praying for, and God heard, and God extended this time. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. Yep, the deep state beast thought they had them. Brought in all their killers, invaded the countries with their murderers. But he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. They are in derision. They don't know what to do. Oh, they will do some damage, but it's just going to be shooting them in the foot, because it's going to turn the whole nation against them. Then will he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Yep, Jesus is actually running things, folks. I know that a lot of people think the devil is, but he's just an underling, right? And I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance. What do you say? Let's ask. Father, give us these nations that have been ruled by this deep state. We send forth the angels to take it away from them, at least for the time being. Thank you so much that we see the Red Sea coming. And they're going down, and they're going to have we're going to have a party on the other side of the Red Sea, a party, a praise the Lord party. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Hey, who owns this world? We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, right? We need to start acting like it, don't we? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Who did he give this authority to, by the way? The overcomers. But you thought that was just Jesus. Some people do think that that's just talking about Jesus, but it's actually Jesus in the overcomers. Now, therefore, be wise, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath will soon be kindled. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. What is it that the Lord is looking for to be his worshipers? You know, the worship means to kiss towards, the New Testament word, kiss towards, worshipers. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. Amen. Worship the Lord. All right, Brandy got this one, Psalm 144, 1 through 11. And it is a psalm of David, which makes a lot of sense. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. my loving kindness, and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer. Amen. He is all things to us, isn't he? My shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdueth my people under me. Mm-hmm. Lord, what is man that thou art, thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou takest account of him? Man is like to vanity, and his days are a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Mountains, of course, are kingdoms. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Send out thine arrows and discomfit them. Sounds like what he did to the northern army in Joel chapter 2, just before the great revival, right? By the way, this is Psalm 144. That's representing the Davids. And 111 also is the gematria underneath many texts that speak about the man-child being born, or the baby Jesus being born, or other types of the man-child being born. It's very interesting. And here it is. Stretch forth thy hand from above, and rescue me, and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens. Oh, yes. There are aliens. There are aliens in the church, and God is routing out the tares and gathering them into bundles. By the tribulations that people go through, they choose whether they want truth or they want error. And they get what they want, right? Whose mouth speaketh deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery of 10 strings will I sing praise unto thee. Praise is powerful. Conquered his enemies, right? Thou art he that giveth salvation unto kings, who rescueth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of the aliens, whose mouth speaketh deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. We asking the Lord to destroy this invasion, right? The invasion in the church, the invasion in the land of America, the invasion in these lands that they're overcoming. Lord, destroy this invasion. We send forth the angels to destroy this invasion. Cause the people to rise up, Lord. Cause the people to rise up and stand against their governments and overthrow their governments who have basically turned them over to these devils. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. God will save his people from their wicked adversaries. And Tim asked a verse for where we are today as a group. Of course, we are just a macrocosm of the microcosm, right? We just a small part of the larger body out there. Many people in the bride are out there, you know. But so he was asking for are we today as a group? So it represents many out there, I'm sure. And he got Esther 3:13-15. And letters were sent by post into all of the king's provinces to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews. Do you know that they are planning on killing you? Yes, they are. You watch. I mean, we've seen it in lesser things like Las Vegas. You know, they forget. Oh, these are just conservatives. They like country music. This has got to be conservatives. We'll kill them all, you know. They tried hard. Tried to start a world war several times, quite a few times. That was very obvious, and they failed in their false flags because people prayed, right? Caused to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. And to take the spoil of them for a prey. That was their plan, but I got to tell you something. We're going to take a spoil of them. You remember when they left Egypt? And God had hardened Pharaoh's heart. And the Egyptians had treated them badly. They were spoiling them. Well, when they left Egypt, God put the fear of them in the heart of the Egyptians, and they gave them a lot of money to go into the wilderness with. They spoiled them. They spoiled them that made spoil of them. And a copy of the writing of that decree should be given out in every province, was published unto all the peoples, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went forth in haste by the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. So, the king gave the beast the ring of authority to destroy the people of God because they were in rebellion. If you don't believe they were in rebellion, just think about what was said there. They don't keep the king's laws either. That was the reason the king gave the ring to Haman, who represented the head of the beast. So, the beast planned to wipe out Christianity. But let me say, it's only able to wipe out the apostates, those who don't have the blood on their doorposts. And as you know, this all got turned around when the bride, who proved to be the bride, by interceding to the king to take his authority away from the beast to destroy the people of God and give it unto them and unto Mordecai. Right? He gave the ring unto Mordecai and gave him the authority to destroy the works of the beast. Will it happen again? Yes, just like David took out the Edomites. It'll happen again. So, there is a time when God gives people over to the beast for crucifixion, and there's a time when God gives authority to save the people of God. Because what did the people do when they found that what the decree was? They cried out to God in repentance. They tried to make things straight between themselves and the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ this time. And by making things right, everything was turned around. Notice what Esther interceded to the king for, she received the authority. Notice that she handed this authority over to the people to stand for their own lives. Yeah, that's right. You've got to stand for your life. You've got to claim the promises of God for yourself, right? Amen. You know, Shay got this word too, Zechariah 12 and 6. In that day I will make the chieftains of Judah like a pan of fire among wood, and like a flaming torch among sheaves. And they shall devour all the peoples round about, on the right hand and on the left. And they of Jerusalem shall yet again dwell in their own place, even in Jerusalem. So the people stood for their lives, and they won. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for this day. And thank you that the people out there that are your people are going to do their job and stand up for the people of God and do warfare against the wicked. Thank you so much, Father. We receive your grace today in Jesus' name. Well, all right. God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I think I'm going to continue with something like this next time. But I think it'll be very interesting what I'm going to share. Anyway, God bless you. Good night.